Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for many of you who prayed for us when we were in BDC in North Highland, and also for the many who prayed for the session as we had our retreat to share from God's Word with one another and also to discuss the many, many business regarding the church. The church's direction, the church's growth, as well as the many ministries overseas that the Lord has given to us to have a part in. This morning we continue our study on the book of Lamentation in chapter 4, Blind Leaders Leading the Blind. Leaders are very important people in every age and in every society, in every home, as well as in every church. Israel was different from the rest of the other nations. It was a spiritual nation first and last. It was not like other nations, political and economic in emphasis. It was spiritual with a spiritual emphasis. For in the Old Testament, it was not the local churches. There were none. It was the nation of Israel that must shine forth the grace and the mercies of God's salvation grace. That by the life of the Israelites, the world must see Christ. They must find a way back to their Creator. But when Israel fell into sin, we cannot help but realize that the primary culprit will have to be the leaders. It was a period of monarchy, where they had many kings. Israel, by this time, the northern kingdom had been destroyed. That left only the southern kingdom, made up primarily of Judah. And so it was called Judah. And because Israel had been destroyed, sometimes they also took over the name Israel. Because a remnant who remained behind were assimilated into the southern kingdom, Judah. But Judah had many good kings, but sadly more bad kings outnumbered the few good kings. And when the Bible tells us in the ministry of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, the first few verses, we are told that Jeremiah began his ministry in the reign of Josiah. He was one of the best kings Judah ever experienced. And his ministry will end with the last king. His name was Zedekiah. All the way right up to the destruction of the capital city called Jerusalem, as well as the total destruction of God's temple, Solomon's temple. But in this chapter, the emphasis will not be on bricks and mortars. In Lamentation chapter 4, you realize that in the first 12 verses, it is a very vivid description of the people. A people that was compared or contrasted with gold. Bright, shining, pure, brilliant, precious. How could something that was so precious, that was so brilliant, turn into something that was worthless? That was how Jeremiah began chapter 4. It was a description of the sad state of affairs that the people of Judah had brought themselves into. Let us look at what the people were like before Jeremiah pointed his fingers at the leaders, calling them blind leaders. But when they were leaders, very much alive, when the nation was still sovereign before the destruction, they were very confident. The leaders were full of themselves. And they will impact and influence the entire nation. So much so that God was left with only one option. Israel or Judah must be removed from the land of promise. That was part and parcel of the covenant treaty that God made with Israel as far back as the days of Moses and Joshua. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, where you will have the blessings and the cursings very detailedly elaborated for us. Verse 1, Lamentation 4. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold, that is purest gold, changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion comparable to fine gold. So God made it very plain and clear through the writing of Jeremiah so that none may miss the point that God was literally actually comparing Israel's days of glory, when God gave them and blessed them with so much that they were compared with fine gold. But what happened? What happened to my people, the precious sons of Zion? How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the works of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. But the daughter of my people is become cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. Now there are many, many different aspects of the ostrich you find used in the Bible. In other portions of the Bible, ostriches are compared to someone who is very stupid. Because ostriches, when they run, and they run, and they run, and they run from their avenger, from the animals who try to kill them and capture them and trap them, they will run, and they will run very fast until they are completely exhausted, until they could not run any longer. They will just simply stick their head in the sand and think that they will be safe. That's the ostrich. That would be an emphasis on the ostrich stupidity, but this was not the case. Another aspect of the ostrich is whenever they lay eggs, they just simply ignore their eggs. They don't care about their eggs. They don't care about their young when they are hatched. And that is the aspect that is used here because of the first part of verse 3. The sea monsters, they draw the breath, they give suck to their young ones. Sea monsters know how to feed their young ones. But my own people, they don't even know how to feed their young ones. They are like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, no man breaketh it unto them. That means famine everywhere. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. Those who once upon a time were very rich, full of wealth, dressed in precious scarlet garments. What do they do now? They live in dunghills. They cover themselves with dung. Verse 6. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. How so? There was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It is become like a stick. Once upon a time, they all looked so beautiful. Young, healthy, strong, full of nourishment. But their appearance now, as black as coal. That's what starvation would do to people. They will turn black, and that's why in the last days in the book of Revelation, a black horse, famine will come in the last days. That's the description in Revelation. The demeanor and everything else will turn black, dark color, and they become like stick. They that be slain with a sword are better than they that be slain with hunger, for these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. Now you know why. The punishment upon the sin of Sodom compared to what the Jews were experiencing right there and then was not as great. Why? Because when God destroyed Sodom, it was instantaneous, it was immediate. They died on the spot. Not a slow, painful death like starvation. A terrible, terrible way to die. You cry. You hear your babies cry. You hear your children cry. And what could you do? You could do absolutely nothing because you are starving. You see your young ones dying of hunger before your very eyes, and you are totally, completely helpless to do anything to help. And that's why the slow death is worse than an instantaneous death. The hands of the pitiful women, verse 10, have soddened their own children. Do you know the meaning of the word soddened? See. That's how it is translated in other portions of the Bible. S-E-E-T-H-E. To seethe means to boil, to cook. What did the women do? The hands of the pitiful women, they were very pitiful, have boiled their own children. They were so desperate. They may have 6 children. One has died. The other 5 are crying for food. What do you do? Continue to wait for the rest to die? In desperation, they cooked the dead baby and used that to nourish the living babies, the living children. That was a sad state of the people of God that once upon a time was supposed to be shining like purest of gold. That's the meaning of fine gold. They had God's word. They had the prophets. They had the entire Levitical system. They had the place of worship. They had everything given to them for them to succeed, for them to shine so bright as the witness, the only witness of planet Earth, of the glorious grace and mercies of God Almighty. And they threw everything away. What have they become? Boiling their own children just to survive. We can't even imagine what that's like, isn't it? We thank God we have not been reduced to that kind of state of hunger, of devastation. Would you ever do that? That you would boil one of your own children because the child has died just to feed and save the remaining few? Unimaginable! We pray that we will never have to make that decision, isn't it? And yet, God's people had to. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people, Jeremiah said. The Lord had accomplished His fury. The Lord had brought to pass His fury. He had poured out His fierce anger. Now the word poured out means deliberately spill over. Literally take something that is liquid and pour it out. Poured out His fierce anger and had kindled a fire in Zion. It had devoured the foundations thereof. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary, the opponent and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Nobody could ever guess that could ever happen to Jerusalem, God's people. But it did. And so Jeremiah, from verse 13, he will now point his fingers at the main culprit. Who are the main culprits? The sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests. Sins there simply refers to offenses that misses the mark. Iniquities, perverseness, moral evil. The prophets were sent primarily by God with one task, and that was to rebuke sin. But when prophets, instead of rebuking sin, turn around and embrace sin and propagate sin, that's what it means here. The priests were supposed to be the teachers of God's word. They were appointed as mediators between God and man. They were supposed to be the lawyers, the people who are well versed in the word of God. They committed moral perversion. They did not do their part. And God said, because of them, they have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 5, where we're going to have a glimpse of what these people did. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 19. Okay, Jeremiah 5, verse 19. It's better if you were to read the whole book of Jeremiah. Okay? So we're going to have little glimpses here and there, just to highlight some of the terrible things these culprits did. Now, they never thought that they were blind. When they were in power, when they had a king behind them, they were very, very sure and sincere that they were doing what was right. Now, you and I know that sincerity cuts no path as far as God is concerned. God is not interested with sincerity when it is against God's truth. What happens is that you are sincerely wrong, that's all. And because you are sincere, that makes you more dangerous because you are very convincing. Verse 19, and it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in the land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, now this was told to Jeremiah. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have ear, eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand of the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? Don't you fear God at all? But this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch them. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they become great and waxen rich. So material blessings they had once upon a time. They are waxen fat. They shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. They became more and more wealthy with all their sins and their deceptions. They don't care. They took advantage of the poor. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Now note verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people, what? Love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Read Lamentation. That's the end thereof. They were given money. More and more money for all the abuses and all the sins and all the crimes and all the perversions that they committed. And when this priest and these prophets encourage these people, they prophesy falsely. They bear rule by their means. In other words, they took advantage of the people when they came to them to offer offerings. They took advantage of them. They abused the power and the privileges as leaders. And the people suffered. But those who were on their side, they were rewarded with material blessings. In detail what they did, turn to Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26. This was at the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, a bad king. The Lord was giving them a last and final chance. Look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, that is to Jeremiah, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh. Shiloh was totally destroyed for what it did. And will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Same phrase used by God to Adam if he were to take and eat the forbidden fruit. Thou shalt surely die. Most emphatic declaration. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house, that is Jerusalem, shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against the city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know for ye for certain, that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon the city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And then some of them defended Jeremiah. Micah prophesied the same thing. You can read that in the book of Micah, verse 18. And then verse 20, there was a man who also prophesied by the name of Uriah. They captured him. They took him. Verse 21. And when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. And when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and he fled and he went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan. Elnathan means God has given. The son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. That's what they did to people who gave the word, the truth. Kill them! Arrest them! That's what the priests and the prophets did with their power, their influence, leaders. They never thought themselves blind, but they were. Today it is no different. Blind leaders will not admit they are blind. Blind leaders will think that they have sight. And that gives them sincerity in their conviction and in their speeches. And therefore, they convinced many. In this case, they convinced an entire nation. So much so that they rejected true prophets whom God sent to them again and again and again and again. And because of that, these blind leaders shed blood. When the mother boiled her own child, it's because of these blind leaders. When they watched their own men taken into captivity because of these blind leaders. It was too late. When all these things happened, they could not unwind the clock and go back to square one and start all over again. There was no second chance. The lives of these people were badly, badly deceived into the life of destruction that they had to go through now because of the convincing arguments of these false prophets and priests. They abused the power and the authority that God gave to them. There are many leaders who are of the same category today. None more influential and greater in numbers than the charismatic movement. Do they admit they are blind? No. They claim that they have sight. You read their books. They will say that anyone who is opposing them, who is against them, they are satanic. They declare it in their books. They say that they are the super Christian, the first class Christians, because they have resurrected and brought back the offices of the prophets and the apostles. And so many of them are now called apostles. And those who reject this truth, they will be called second class Christians if they speak in tongues. If they don't speak in tongues, then they will be reduced to third-class Christians. They call us third-class Christians. And anyone who will oppose them, you are opposing God, they dare to claim. And how they have deceived millions all over the world. The largest church, charismatic. Everything is big, it's large. Money, money, money. You read in the papers? One weekend, $19 million? Yes? Are you impressed? The world is, especially in this time of recession. And so all the more, they will lap up all these impressive deeds and actions. But where is the truth? Where is the truth from men like Jeremiah and Micah? Who will continue, come what may, to declare the truth, no matter what. There are many, many other passages that you can turn to in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had to face, for example, one man by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. The names are all very biblically sounded names. Jeremiah said, thus say the Lord. He also said, thus say the Lord. So how do you know who is right, who is wrong? Like today. How do you know they are wrong or they are right, the charismatics? And then you have on the other side, the new evangelicals, who say that it is okay for our Christianity to stand, even though we hold in our hands a Bible with mistakes. It's okay to have dialogue with liberals and modernists who attack God's Word. And so they created terms like theistic evolution, try to marry carnal, godless evolution with the Bible. Theistic evolution. God used evolution to bring us into existence. No such thing as the global flood, only the local flood. Oh, the miracles in the Bible, well, maybe, maybe not. Did they really, really cross the Red Sea? Did they really did all those miracles in Egypt? We have no record from the Egyptian documents. Oh, that's a story that grandmothers tell the Israelite children before they go to bed. It's a myth. It never existed. The slow migration into present-day Canaan, present-day Palestine. And then in time, they just increase in numbers, and then slowly they just overwhelm and took over. That's how many nations came into existence. That's how America came into existence. That's how Australia came into existence. That's how most countries came into existence. So therefore, Israel must have also came into existence the same way. Explain many, many portions. But I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe that He died for us. I believe He rose from the dead. But all these other portions of the Bible, I don't believe. But I'm a Christian, they cry. And we get confused. Because many of these are professors with strings of degrees in seminaries teaching the Word of God. And they know Hebrew, they know Aramaic, they know Greek better than all of us. And so we become impressed. And we become confused. They have the numbers, they have the money, they have the power. Many of the books that we use to study Hebrew, to study Greek, they are all published by these people. They have the time, they have the resources, they have the money. And that's why when we use all these lexicons, we have to use them very carefully. Because in there are comments that are totally, totally anti-biblical. Of all their theories, the Jehovah document theory, the Elohim, the Levitical, the priestly documents, all these theories, all in there. So when we use them, we have to be very, very selective. Or else we'll be deceived. They control the heart and soul of modern day Christianity. Whether you like it or not, that's the fact. Because they have money, they have numbers, they have everything. They own publishing companies. A multi-million dollar in everything they do. Everything big and huge and large. They're going to build a big, gigantic building, isn't it? $500 million. That's going to cost them. A hub. 5,000-seat auditorium for their 22,000 membership. Amazing. The world will shake their head in amazement. Because that's what the world likes. That's what the world loves. Is that what will impress you too? Or is this just simply the Word of God? Remember, if you are led by blind leaders, there is no turning around. You cannot ask God to wind the clock back and I start all over again. There is no starting from square one all over again like snake and ladder. You've gotten out a snake, back to square one. Not start again. Climb again. No climbing again. There's only one goal.
One go, and that's it. And at the end of it, the end. That's what happened. The end. Now they saw the blind leaders for what they really were. Now as they hear the cries and the scream of their own children, "I want food, mommy. I want milk, mommy." Can those glorious days come back? No. No. They will not come back. They had the opportunity. Jeremiah preached to them, "Repent. You can. Stay the hand of God that the judgment will not come." But they didn't listen. They rather listened to the blind leaders who were very, very convincing. They had the king. They had all their nicely dressed garments. They had the numbers. They looked so successful. They also say, "Thus say the Lord." They use the name Jehovah. Just like they also say, "Praise the Lord," they also use Jesus Christ. The only way is the Word of God. The only way is the truth. The only way to know who is a blind leader, who is not a blind leader, is back to the Bible. That's why the only safety factor we have is gospel, because it is objective. You evaluate their truth, their doctrine. You evaluate their teachings. Not what they say only. The associations and their doctrines and their teachings. Evaluate them from God's Word. That's the only safety factor. Because we're not just talking about shedding blood. We're not talking about just some physical life being lost, wasted. We're talking about souls that will end up in hell thinking that they're going to heaven. Thousands of them, if not millions of them, will end up in that state. Because Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, "Many will say to me on that day," do you know where that verse is found? Matthew 7, 21, 22, 23. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out demons in thy name? Have I not done many miracles, works of wonder in thy name?'" Which group today? Make all these claims, prophecy, the charismatic. Which group today has a lot of demon casting? Charismatic. Which group today claims a lot of miracles? The charismatic. How clear from God's Word do we want before our eyes are open? That was written 2,000 years ago, dear friends. And today it is fulfilled before our very eyes, and still we do not see. God already told us, Matthew 24:24, "There will in the last days, before the Lord returns, false Christs and false prophets who will come and do great signs and wonders, and if it were possible to deceive even the very elect," that means the miracles will have the appearance of reality. What is another name that the charismatics give to themselves? Their movement. Signs and wonders movement. Great, mega signs and wonders movement. What do they call their churches? Mega churches. Great churches. Mega, that's the word. Great signs and wonders. How much clearer do we want from God's Word? It is through the jot and tittle in its fulfillment of this group. And still, we do not see. We do not realize the danger and the peril. And so we have some members who have no qualms dating charismatics. "Oh, they're also Christians." Are they? You sure? Please, let us go back to the Scriptures. In every aspect of our lives, not just simply talk about Christ in the church, but let it be part and parcel, every facet of our life. Because that's exactly what Christianity is. The lives of these Jews were completely devastated. Not just their spiritual life. Every facet of their life destroyed. Every facet. Because they listened to the blind leaders. They shed blood. Verse 14, verse 15. "They have wandered," that is staggering up and down, "as blind men in the streets." These are the leaders.
They have polluted themselves with blood. The blood of children, the blood of women, the blood of men. So that men could not touch their garments. Now they are unclean. Unclean. Whether it was literal or figurative, it's the same. They were unclean. Whether their garments were truly, literally covered by blood. They cried unto them, "Depart ye, get out, we don't want you anymore. It is unclean, depart, depart, touch not." When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathens, because the Jews, the people from Judah, drove them out into the land of the Gentiles. But the Gentiles also don't want them. They shall no more sojourn there. Get out also, nobody wanted them because of the evil they had done. You think they will escape the judgment of God for the thousands and thousands and thousands that they have deceived? All for filthy lucre? All for filthy lucre. They preach, you believe in Jesus Christ, you will never be poor. You will never be sick. Where do you find this kind of horrendous gospel? Never! And yet, they continue to do so week after week after week after week. No fear of God. That's why such leaders must be exposed for what they are. Hopefully, some from within may understand and see the light and get out. It is not a game, dear friends. You ask this mother who just put this dead baby into the boiling water, is it a game? It's not a game. They weep and they wept and they cry. If only I had listened to Jeremiah. If only I had listened to Jeremiah 10 years ago. But that's not 10 years ago. That's now, isn't it? It's too late. It's too late. Our world is winding down very, very swiftly, very fast. It is winding down at such a rate that is mind-boggling. The leaders, all departments, all fields of science and economics, they just simply do not know how to cope with this kind of global events and catastrophe. They are at a loss. They are now dealing with things that history has no record. They just simply do not know what to do. Can we not see the signs before us? The day when we can serve the Lord truly unnumbered. Not many days left. You want to hoard and hoard and hoard all your wealth? You want to still spend all your remaining years on this earth, the few months or years or days that we have on this earth, pursuing after what? Material things? Are we not going to see what happened to Judah and learn from the mistakes and the blunders? But to make sure that we are not following blind leaders. Please evaluate our preaching, to evaluate the teaching of this church as well. Don't take anyone from this pulpit or any other pulpit for granted. You must know that it is from God's word. If it is not from God's word, please don't listen. But if it is from God's word, please listen. We are just showing you what the Bible says. This book is not written by any one of us. It's from God. That's why they didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. They pay the ultimate price. They pay the ultimate price. They listen to other voices. Now they knew that they were blind. Now they say, "Depart, get out, I don't want to have anything to do with you." It's too late, isn't it? It's too late. And then verse 16, they shed blood, they polluted themselves, and now they're rejected by God. The anger of the Lord has divided them. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests. They favored not the elders. And now the people's eyes were open. No more respect for these people. But too little, too late, as they say. One day, these charismatic leaders, these new evangelical pastors and seminary professors will be revealed for what they really are. Blind leaders. But by then, they will have really deceived millions. And the millions will be paying the heavy price of a wasted life. If they are born again, they will be saved by the skin of their teeth. But if they are not born again, thinking that they are born again, they will end up in hell for all eternity. And what we read here
describe only physical death. But what we hear from God on the great white throne judgment will not be merely physical death, it will be the second death. But they will spend eternity in the lake of fire, a place of great torment and pain and gnashing of teeth. The pain and sorrow that you and I can never even imagine. But they have to endure it, year in, year out, for all eternity, simply because the blind leaders have led millions into the lake of fire. Dear friends, how urgent is the task before us? Look around us. Look around your family. Look around your friends. The little world that God has placed each and every one of us in. We have a duty to the Lord Jesus Christ if we are born again. To be that source of light that Israel was supposed to be. The fine gold that we are to be. To tell them that there is a Jesus. A Jesus whom God has sent from heaven to die for your sins because He loved you. That if you reject Him and you remain in your sin when you die, you reject the only one who can be your mediator between you and your Creator. And God accepted what He has done for you by raising Him from the dead. Is this message not accepted and received by us from the heart? And if it is truly the pearl of great price, then we must tell others about this pearl that you have already owned in your heart. Because there will come a day when they will die, or the Lord returns, and all your weeping and your sorrowing and your crying will not wind the clock back and let you start all over again. It's too late. Let us realize the grave responsibility that comes with the greatest privilege of being called children of the Most High God. And let us begin with our own sons and daughters to make sure that they are first and foremost born again. And let us help them realize that there is more to life than just getting a piece of paper from a very, very Ivy League university and to be found in one of these high post and high pay jobs. Much, much more than that. That is the spiritual dimension that you must emphasize in the lives of your sons and your daughters. That even as they study, even as they work, they must be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people about the Savior by their speech and by their life. Because the day will soon come where it will be the last day for service and witness. And the Lord will say, "Come home!" And all of us will be caught up into the clouds of glory. And all that we have done or not done will be sealed forever for eternity. There are many who are being led astray by the blind leaders. I'm sure you have friends and relatives and family members who have been led astray by blind leaders. Whether they are of other faiths or whether they are within Christianity, we have a duty. We have to pray for them. We have to tell them with much prayer and weeping and sorrowing, like Jeremiah. It wasn't easy. No, you read the other chapters. They threw him into a dark, deep well, hoping that he will die a miserable death. But he survived. Survived to see what? To see all these things. To see how his own people were slaughtered. To see how mothers have to cook their own babies. To see all this pain and hear all the cry. Was he jumping for joy that he had been vindicated? No. His heart was broken. Yes, every word that God caused him to speak from the very beginning when God called him into ministry in Jeremiah chapter 1, he did it faithfully. And every word came to pass exactly as God asked him to preach. He preached it and God honored his word and it came to pass. But it broke his heart. When you go and tell them about Jesus Christ, about the lake of fire, about the hell and the sin and so on, it will come to pass. It will come to pass because God said it will. And God has never lied. He cannot lie. And that's why there is this urgency that you and I must go. We thank God. By God's grace and mercies, we know the truth. But that comes with it, the responsibility for many out there who do not know the truth. They have been led astray by blind leaders. And therefore, please know the word so that you can help many in your circle of friends, in your world, that we can't. I have my world, I have my influence, I have my circle of friends that I have to be responsible to. You have yours. We all have our part to play. Because the souls, eternity, heaven, hell, these are the realities that we have to bear in mind. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, plant in our hearts, O Lord, a deep sense of urgency, that we may realize the grave and awesome responsibility that comes with salvation, grace and mercies that we have received from Thee, the Most High God. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou will help us, empower us, equip us, that we may be good and godly ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salt and light in a world that is in darkness, a world that is decaying so rapidly, that we know that a time will come where the Antichrist will surface, and the days where we can serve Thee will be no more. Help us therefore, O Lord, to realize how much we need to tell others, especially our loved ones, our friends, our colleagues, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And may this deep sense of urgency, coupled with the fear of God in our hearts, propel us on, that we may not be mindful of our earthly treasures, but that we may always be mindful of the heavenly treasures that one day we will all receive from Thee, even the crown of righteousness, which our Lord has reserved for all of us who serve the Lord faithfully as His blood-bought children. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times when we have failed Thee. May Thou teach us, keep us, and use us for the blessing of others and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.